true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On behalf of the staff of the parish, I want to say something that we don't hear very often. Merry Christmas. This is the second of three Christmas masses in this parish, one earlier tonight, this one and one tomorrow morning. Now, I want to begin this homily by recommending for you a book. And it's too late to give it as a Christmas present, but if you've received one of those bookstore cards, you can go out and buy it. And its title is, There Is a God. And the subtitle is, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. A man by the name of Anthony Flew wrote the book. And Flew is considered the world's most notorious atheist because of something he did a half century or so ago. In 1950, he wrote an essay called Theology of Falsification. And those who deny the existence of God are always referring back to that essay. So it came as quite a shock when Anthony Flew changed his mind. In his book, There Is a God, he tells about how developments in physics and biology led him to rethink his denial of God. Now, I bring Anthony Flew up on Christmas for a specific reason. His use of human reason brought him to a belief in God's existence, but no further. Anthony Flew does still not know Jesus. He thinks that God exists, but he's unsure if God cares about us, or if God even takes any interest in us. That is something we really cannot discover on our own. It requires initiative on the part of God. And that is precisely where Christmas comes in. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that, yes, indeed, God has taken an interest in us, and he's taken such an interest in us that he becomes one of us. What is it we will say in the Creed in a moment? For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and made man. Now, often Christmas sermons devolve into the sentimental and maudlin. But the theology of this feast is the most important thing. And to help us understand what Christmas means, I want you to consider an analogy or a comparison better. Many of us like dogs. We enjoy them even though we're very different from them, and they're very different from us. For example, a dog might be sitting at a boy's feet while he's doing his homework, and the dog seems perfectly content, even though he has no idea what the boy is up to. The boy, with all of his books and pencils and paper, is in a different world from the dog, but the two still have a very deep affection for one another. Now, this happy state of affection between dogs and humans did not always exist. The dog's ancestors used to fear human beings and hide from them. But at some point, a very brave or very brilliant person approached a wolf, perhaps it was an abandoned wolf cub, I don't know, and took him in. And whatever he did, he somehow managed to bridge the enormous distance between those two species, and we began to live together. Well, in his incarnation, in his enfleshment, Jesus has done something similar. Humanity especially in the Old Testament, used to fear God, used to hide from Him. And in some ways, we do still hide from Him because of the guilt of our sin. But Jesus reached down in an extraordinary way. He became one of us. He bridged that infinite gap between us and God. And that is what we really celebrate at Christmas. When we look at the Christ child in the manger here, we're seeing something extraordinary. Astronomers tell us that if we look through telescopes, we're seeing events that happened millions, perhaps even billions of years ago. When we look into the manger, we are seeing even further back than that. Because God the Son existed from before all time. He is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. And when we see Jesus, we are seeing God Himself. Apart from Jesus, you and I will never understand the mind of God any more than a dog can understand the mind of a boy. Even a seemingly simple thing like drawing a picture, the dog doesn't know what the boy is doing. There's an awesome distance between us and God, and that distance will always remain, for He is the Creator, and we are but creatures. But because of Jesus, we can enter into God's presence, and we can feel the peace that comes from His acceptance. I heard a nice little story that illustrates God's acceptance of us, how God accepts us even with all of our faults and failings and sin. Johnny Cash tells the story about spending the Christmas 1974 with Billy Graham. At one point on that Christmas Eve night, Billy Graham said, "Let's call Richard Nixon and wish him a Merry Christmas." Now, Johnny Cash swallowed. This was just a few months after President Nixon had left the White House in disgrace. Nixon may not have been worse off than many other people, but he made the mistake of recording his own worst bits. Tapes made in the Oval Office showed him to be petty and vindictive. And instead of concentrating on the business of the nation, he was fixated on getting even with those that hurt him. The American people had put great trust in him, but he had let us down, and now he was living in shame. So when Billy Graham said, "Let's call Richard Nixon and wish him a Merry Christmas," Johnny Cash cringed. Billy Graham got right through to the former president, and they talked for a few moments, and then he passed the phone to Johnny Cash, and Cash writes about how difficult it was to make Yuletide small talk with Richard Nixon. But he added, "You know, it didn't really matter to Billy Graham what a man had done. It doesn't matter how rotten and low He's being." Now, God knows what you and I have done. He's got the tapes and He's got the video. Not just of our external behavior, but of our thoughts as well. To Him all hearts are open, all desires known. He knows not only who we are, but yet He reaches down like that man reached out to that first feral dog, and He did it dramatically on Christmas Day. Sometimes people say that they're afraid to go to church on Christmas because they think the walls will fall down. These walls are sturdy. But what does await us is a child. And He wants to bridge the gap between us and God. In Jesus, God wants to embrace us no matter what we've done or who we are. Let me try and put a bow on all of this and sum it up. An ancient mystic once said that the thing we tell of can never be found by seeking, but only seekers find it. Even though God is so far beyond our human understanding, we still have to seek Him. And like that former non-believer Anthony Flew, we have to seek God with an open mind. But even doing that, at some point we are going to bump up against our human limitations, our limited human minds, and above all, the burden of sin and shame. And that's where Christmas comes in. Like that brave man that first reached down to the wolves, God has reached down to us. We no longer have to fear God or hide from Him. That's the message. No more fear, no more hiding. Come to the child. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the new-born King.